sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in, welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Loaded show for you here today on this terrific Tuesday. Seth Erickson, head coach of the Groton Post 39 baseball squad. He'll be joining us here in less than 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Looking forward to that discussion with him. And again, for those of you that are watching on that Facebook feed, you can check out the kids from the Boys and Girls Club of Aberdeen as they wave to the camera right over there. That's good stuff. Hey, kids, how we doing over there? Nice to have them live in studio as the Hub City Radio MVP, Rusty Rocket, providing that preview, or the, not preview, but the tour here, as it were. So good stuff there from the kids of the Boys and Girls Club of Aberdeen. Matt McClure, we call him the Cobra, also joining us live in studio. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing today, man?
Doing well. Staying hydrated. Had my first cup of coffee about an hour or so ago. I'm charged. I'm ready to go. Feeling good today.
I'm glad you're feeling better. I know you've been struggling the last couple days.
Yeah,
here.
Just maybe too much food.
Okay.
Not enough food. I don't know.
Could be one of two things,
hard
right?
to say. It is hard to say. But no, feeling a lot better here this morning and looking forward to a great day of golf ahead of us, as we're going to keep you posted on the leaderboard. As it stands right now, we had Claire Crawford tee off about an hour and a half or so ago, and it's going to be a long fight to the finish there. But if you look at all of the leaderboards across the landscape of AA, single A, B for boys and girls alike, this is going to be a very competitive day of golf. I think probably, in theory, less competitive on the AA side of things, because Olivia Braun is, I don't want to say head and shoulders above the rest of the field, but six shots above. I would feel pretty good, pretty comfortable and confident to say she's going to get that taken care of. We'll have to wait and see, but this is going to be a really fun day of golf, and we're going to be keeping our eyes posted to the leaderboard all day today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned AA. Braun's got a six-stroke lead. She tees off at 10:20, it looks like, here for round two. It would have to be, like, the only way people are getting in that is if a collapse happens. But, mm-hmm. I mean, she's been brilliant. I mean, 71, one under. But I'm looking forward to seeing how this one in Madison goes down, because you mentioned it on the sports update. There's a lot of movement with the team scores. You look at Roncalli, fourth. I mean, first place is Vermillion with 60. And then one back is Sioux Falls Christian. I think you could see a competitive team leaderboard. Hopefully Crawford continues her really nice outing after a 76. She's up by four, so we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that one really shakes out, because there could be a lot of movement after day two.
And guess what? There's already a lot of movement going on right now on the team side of things in particular. You mentioned Vermillion up top after day one with a one-stroke lead. Right now they're in third place. They're three strokes back of first place Sioux Falls Christian. They're at a 69 over collectively. Second place, you've got St. Tommy there at 71. Vermillion a 72, and Roncalli at a 74, so five shots back. So there's going to be a lot, an emphasis on a lot of jockeying for position over the next 2.5 to 3 hours or so. And we'll keep you posted on all the updates. But if you're a Ron Colley fan, don't panic. You're like 2 or 3 shots back. Oh, my gosh, we got to figure this. Don't panic. This is going to be a long, long, long fight to the finish, and that's going to be updated throughout the day. So there's going to be a lot of movement there.
And you got to think when you get to those last couple holes, that's when the pressure really comes on. Yeah. So there's going to be movement there. Like you said, you just got to fight to the finish. And I feel like the mindset completely changes after day one to day two, depending on where you're at individually or these team scores. And I think those last couple holes are going to be the key where you finish. I mean, are you going to rise to the occasion, or do you struggle down the stretch? And we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
You're 2 or 3 strokes behind. Time to start taking some chances, you know, rather than saying, oh, I'm going to play this thing safe. And we saw that a little bit last year with Olivia Braun. She was trying to chase Allison Meyerink, couldn't quite get there. But, hey, you got to take some chances on 17 and 18 to make that happen. So we'll have to wait and see how that all plays.
And for Braun here today, I mean, you just need
take chances.
Yeah, you don't need to take chances. You just need a steady round. I mean, you shot a 71. You got a big lead. You know, I feel like she's – right there mentally. We talked to her a couple weeks ago. She seems like she's right there. Obviously, she's wants to win that, and like you said, don't take chances. And if you just play a steady round of golf like she's done all season, she's going to be hoisting the crown at the end of this thing.
She'll be on the tee in 14 minutes, 10:20 for her tee off time here today. So looking forward to that, and looking forward to seeing perhaps a couple of Aberdeen or Aberdonians, I guess more accurately, perhaps hoisting that crown, which would be really, really cool from Claire Crawford's perspective and Olivia Braun. But still a whole round, essentially, to go there on the A and AA side of things. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Go ahead and get to the jump right here on FSA, 1420, 98.5. Seth Erickson here in about a quarter past the hour or so. And this came out yesterday, and I think we've got breaking news from the future. The Eagles are officially now 6-11, and Saquon Barkley rolled his ankle in week 5. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. But the official cover of Madden has been released for Madden 26 for folks out there that are big-time fans of the game and the franchise there. And it's Saquon Barkley. Yes, indeed, the cover of Madden officially released. And I got to tell you, it's a pretty cool cover with Saquon Barkley doing that backwards turnaround 180 flip over the Jacksonville Jaguar player. But therein lies the problem. If you're an Eagles fan, it could be a Madden curse. We'll have to wait and see.
Did you see the video?
I did.
I thought the creation of it was pretty cool, how they kind of did that for the cover. I thought that was neat. But, yeah, I'd be worried if I was an Eagles fan, just based off the history and of how it's gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for Saquon, though. I mean, that was the play of the year last year in the NFL.
I mean, I'd be a hard-pressed to find a second one. I mean, it's certainly the most memorable. No two ways about it. I mean, there were some great plays in the league for sure, but I can't off the top of my head on June the 3rd think of a more memorable play than that one.
Maybe the Commander's Hail Mary against Bears with Stevenson waving to the crowd. Kind of like we did to start the show there.
Around! The play's going on!
That's the only one I can really think of.
Yeah. What was that dude thinking? Oh, my goodness. It's kind of one of those deals afterwards when you talk to your parents after doing something stupid and they say, what were you thinking? And your response is, I wasn't thinking.
Imagine if that was the Madden cover.
Oh.
Like that, because the picture on X is like, you see the picture of him just turned around. Like, what if they were just like, hey, this is the cover.
We're going to totally troll somebody with this one. I've always been a proponent of, why don't they just put the third string left guard on the cover of Madden just to find out if the Madden cover really is legit, the Madden curse? And I don't know. We did see Peyton Hillis on the cover years ago after his
2012
lone bust-out season, and after that, never heard from him ever again. So you know, there's definitely something to it. But some players have gotten the best of the Madden curse and sometimes not. Well, let me preface this next segment here, Matt, with I'm not trying to be a wet blanket,
okay?
I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, but the headlines are coming out, and if you go on to X, you see his name trending out there. J.J. McCarthy, he's putting together some really good pieces of offense there in OTAs, and saw a tweet this morning that says he's making some impossible throws. NFL coaches have stated they have never seen anything as close to Mahomes as J.J. McCarthy is. And again, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, but it's 7-on-7. It's OTAs. Most people, most quarterbacks, these are pros after all, should be looking pretty good. I know that's not always the case. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, but let's just pump the brakes. It's not week one. It's not week 13. It's OTAs. It's June. Let's not just anoint. Let's put the anointing oils away, as Bill Parcells used to say.
Hey, glad he's playing well in OTAs. I'm happy for him, but I'm totally with you on that. I need to see it on Sunday with J.J. McCarthy. I'm glad he's out there healthy. I mean, I heard the same things about Shedeur Sanders with how good he's been in the OTAs and rookie minicamp there for Cleveland. And as a Sixers fan in basketball, you know how many times Ben Simmons posted a workout video during the offseason, and everybody's like, oh, here comes the three-point jump shot. Then we get to the regular season, he's taken maybe one all year. So tap the brakes on that. I'm glad he's playing well. It looks like he's going to be in the driver's seat to be that starter, and hopefully he can stay healthy there during the preseason and during training camp, because we might have saw him last year if he didn't get his knee hurt in the preseason.
Ben Simmons workout video, and fast forward to that, and then it's just, yeah, that's kind of the way it goes a lot of times, for sure. So, again, to your point, I'm glad he looks good. That's fantastic. But let's just tap the brakes a little bit. And for what it's worth, here's your headline from not that long ago. New Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has 7 interceptions and 6 practices at OTAs. That's from 2018. I think he turned out okay. I think Mahomes turned out to be okay. So let's just, again, tap the brakes a little bit. I'd rather him be playing well than not. But, you know, it's OTAs.
Also, I love the guys that are, like, giving us, like, stats on the OTAs. Yeah. Like, he's got 8 picks, 6 touchdowns in practice. Like you said, it's not that big of a deal. Glad he's playing well, but I need to see it on Sundays with McCarthy.
No two ways about it. All right, we talked about this the other day. Could it be possible for them to complete the perfect season? Indeed, they did. To the NAIA National Baseball Championships, LSU Shreveport, they did it. 59-0. They completed the first ever undefeated season in college baseball history. They claimed the NAIA Baseball National Championship earlier on this last weekend. Congratulations to the Pilots. 59-0. It's never been done before, and now it has, as the LSU Shreveport squad, the Pilots, they complete the perfect season in college baseball. Amazing.
Longest win. I got some more statistics here for you. Longest winning streak in college baseball history. Listen to some of these numbers. 8 wins by 15 or more runs. A team average of 361 batting average. Team ERA pitching 238. Opponents batting average 192.
Oh, oof.
I mean, talk about complete and utter dominance. Shout out LSU Shreveport. Absolutely dominant. 59-0. You didn't have one blemish in there. You didn't have a day where, hey, we just didn't get the pitching. We didn't get the. That's what makes it so incredible, in my opinion. Like, you brought your A game practically every single night out. You found a way to win. You didn't have a day where, hey, we struck out 12 times at the plate. We struck out. We just couldn't hit the ball and put the ball in play with runners at scoring position. So, what a performance. And I saw that last night too, Tukes. 59-0. Incredible.
Coaches, broadcasters, players, they say it all the time. Hey, you can't win them all. Well, guess what? Hold my all sport. LSU Shreveport, they did. Is all sport still a thing? Remember all sport?
Yeah, I think I do. I don't know if it's still a thing, though.
I don't think so.
By the way, LSU Shreveport, they only played 4 games decided by 1 run this season.
Wow.
So, just dominated.
Yeah. What did you say? 8 times they won by 10 or more?
Let's see. 15 or more.
15 or more. Whoa, sheesh. Not trying to shortchange him there, but that's pretty phenomenal. No two ways about that, so congratulations to him, or to them. And speaking of him, who is him? How about John Murdy? This just came out here this morning. Congratulations to Lee Park Golf Course Pro and Aberdeen Roncalli head golf coach John Murdy, Class 1A Coach of the Year. We just posted this to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. The three-peat is complete for Mr. Murdy. How about that?
Yeah, awesome. And, you know, the team had a three-peat coming out of the region as well. Mm-hmm. So they won 3 consecutive Region 1A titles and had a big part to do with that. And saw that this morning as well. Big shout-out to Coach Murdy and what he's done with that program. I mean, we're talking about them possibly hoisting something at the end of the day today, individually or on the team side of things. So big shout out to him.
Well, it's 10-15. Ron Colley is six strokes back of first place Sioux Falls Christian. That'll continue to change throughout the Sports Hub. We'll keep you posted on that. And as it pertains to the Aberdeen Central side of things, again, a 10-stroke lead for the Golden Eagles heading into day two. Olivia Braun teeing off in about 5 minutes or so. Upcoming next, we're talking some Groton baseball. They were in the Hub City yesterday. They would fall to the Aberdeen Smitties 17-7, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen with Ryan Martin on the call there. You can check out hubcityradio.com for more details with audio cuts with Nathan Canelli and Joe Cogley. Cogley, a nice day there at the dish. 2 for 5 with 5 ribbies there. We'll talk with head coach Seth Erickson of Groton coming up next on the Sports Hub. Sports Hubbing it up on a Tuesday installment of the show on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. He's the Cobra, Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this third day of the month of June. Getting closer and closer to National Donut Day. That's coming up on Friday. What's your go-to?
Boston Cream.
Ooh, yeah. Now we're getting somewhere. Oh, man. Love me some Boston Cream filling. Absolutely. Coach Seth Erickson, head coach of the Groton Post 39 squad, joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk to you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's great to have you on the program. What's your go-to donut? I'm talking about not on the baseball side of things. You got the donut on the bat to kind of warm up your swing.
Yeah, maple glaze. Gotta go with the maple glaze.
That's a good call as well.
That's a good call out. That's kind of underrated. I feel like maple glaze. Did have a one of them bacon donuts here the other day. Got one of those. It's kind of like the donut that just has the little bits of bacon on the top of it, infused with a little maple.
Was that good?
Oh, solid. Very solid.
Yeah, I think I've had that before. Have you ever heard of duck donuts?
Mm-mm, no.
They're big in like when I was in Vegas, they had one. We went by. They had one of those maple bacon donuts. Awesome.
Yeah, all this talk about donuts is making me hungry, so we should probably dial that back. But, Coach, you were in the Hub City yesterday, falling a little bit shy against Aberdeen, Ron Colley, 17, or at Ron Colley, I should say, Aberdeen the Smitties, anyway, 17-7, but some good things in that game. You had a lead, then they came back, and kind of a punch-counter-punch sort of game, but before they kind of exploded there late in the contest. What did you like about last night? What did you dislike from the game last night against the Aberdeen Smitties?
Yeah. You know, really the whole year we've been hitting the ball really well. And, you know, before you got to the eighth inning, I think we led them in hits by quite a ways. Offensively, we're right there with anyone, I think. We're very happy of how our offensive production has been. If you go and look at our box scores, pretty much every game we've lost, we have that one inning where it just seems like we completely melt down and the other team will score 5, 6, 7 runs. That's kind of what happened with us again last night. Had the lead, gave up that one really big inning, then it was trying to catch up from there.
Looks like you guys played 11 games in the spring season, and then you translate right into the Legion season. How much do you think that helped with the hitting side of things, being able to see live pitching and pressure situations?
It helps us a ton. We started that about 4 years ago, transitioning to the high school season. We don't have anywhere inside where we can take hitting or simulate live pitching. So for us, that high school season, we've been pretty successful, had a good year, but we jumped right into Legion, and it seems like we've been playing baseball for months, which we have. So it kind of gives us a jump start, I think.
Seth Erickson joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And every time we've had a baseball coach on talking Legion ball and also high school alike, the question comes about, do you think it's going to become a South Dakota high school sanctioned sport at some point in time, talking about baseball? Feels like that conversation has been kind of ramping up a little bit over the last couple of years. What say you on that? Would you like it? Would you dislike it? Or how would you figure it out? Because obviously you've got tennis and track and field and a lot of other things going on in the springtime too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only downfall of it, is that there's so many things that go on in the spring. But we've made it work, so far the way it's been going. Everybody that does high school baseball love it. Everybody that I know loves it. The kids I have, they love it. Every game matters. It matters if you win or lose. It's based off of power points and your region seeding. So we love it. I would love to see it sanctioned. They got to try to figure out a way together to make it work with the Legion too, so that you can play both. And honestly, if we can get more kids playing baseball, However, whatever we got to do to get that done, we've got to do it.
Talked about the high-powered offense, Coach. I saw you earlier this year. You played SBW in the high school season. You put up 16 runs there. I mean, you're middle of the lineup with Simon, Morris, England. Those guys can really mash the ball. Last night, they attributed to 5 RBIs of your 7 runs. I mean, those guys are big-time players there in the middle of your order. What do you look for from those guys each night?
Yeah, we really depended on the middle of our order. Really 2 through 6 were really solid. For power wise, those guys have a lot of pop in their bats. I think if you go look, anytime we have an extra base hit, it's coming from one of those 4 or 5 guys. And they're really seeing the ball well. They're taking good swings, good approaches, being aggressive. And that helps. If you can be aggressive early in the count and try to jump on a fastball, I mean, they're going to hammer it.
Coach, I'm curious about how you set up your lineup. I've always been curious about this with coaches, and some players, they just really bat well cleanup. You know, some players are great leadoff guys, but they just can't do anything in the 2 spot. I don't know how that is and why that's the case, but how do you come up with your lineup? Do you take input from them, or is it just kind of one of those deals? It's a feel for you, and how does that kind of come to be for you?
I do take input from them. There's just some kids that they like to see pitches. And if I, you know, a kid that likes to see pitches, likes to get deep in the count, I like to place them at the 1 and the 9. You know, I kind of like having, it's almost like having 2 leadoff hitters at the same time, back-to-back, lots of speed. Speed definitely is a big factor for us. If we can get those first 2 guys on base and you got a guy like Brevin Fleece coming up, a single is going to score 1. And Brevin, I don't know if you guys watched him play last night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a machine. So if he gets on base, he's going to score. So I base a lot of it off of speed and just the way they bat. You know, I'm not going to put a power hitter at 1. I want somebody fast that's going to see some pitches.
For sure. And, you know, we talk a lot about when we talk baseball, especially at the high school level, being able to field well. I feel like teams, when they can play mistake-free baseball, limit the errors, you can find yourself in a position to win the game at the end of the game. How do you feel like you guys have played in the field this year? Is there, you know, a game or two where you're like, hey, if we just would have fielded better, you know, we might have been in a different position? What's your kind of take and an overall assessment of that?
We can be a better fielding team. I've told my team a lot this year that if we just fielded better, I don't know if there's a lot of teams up in this area that could beat us. We had, like I said, last night was the same, right? We had 1 bad inning with a couple of errors, and boom, it just snowballs from there. So if there's one area for us we need to get better at, it is fielding.
Seth Erickson joining us live, Fox Sports Aberdeen, and that's just it. It feels like we're talking about that all the time, regardless of we're talking softball or baseball alike, is the fielding has really kind of, I don't want to say dipped, but it's been a problem for a lot of teams out there. Is it just the fact that, hey, we're talking 15 to 19-year-old kids out there, or is it something fundamentally that teams, maybe your guys included, are just not doing right, or what do you think the case is?
I mean, you can do it over and over and over again in practice until you're sick of hitting ground balls and fly balls. It can be a mixture of different things. So biggest thing I always say is walks will kill. You know, you start walking guys, it gets kind of boring out there. You start to lose concentration, and then boom, a ball hits you. You're not quite ready for it. So I think it's got a lot to do with just staying in the game and being totally concentrated. I mean, the drills that we do are the same drills we did 20 years ago. I don't think it's got anything to do with fundamentals. I think it's just a lack of concentration at times.
For sure, Coach. And, you know, looking at your Legion season, you guys, you know, playing a good amount of games. You know, you play on Thursday against Watertown, Saturday versus Wynn, 2 games on Sunday, it looks like, here against Chamberlain. So a lot of baseball for you guys the next couple of games. I'm just curious, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of games in a short amount of time, how do you do the whole pitching kind of thing? Can that be difficult?
Yeah, it is. You know, we kind of ran into that this weekend where I knew we were going to have some bigger games this week with Aberdeen and Watertown. So you do kind of pick and choose who you want to bring in relief. But yeah, I mean, I use the beginning of the season. We try to play quite a few games to start where you're looking for, you know, different pitchers that can maybe help you out later in the year. And then, you know, you have some of the guys that don't play the high school season that need to jump right into it. And I just feel like playing games, you know, it is a better experience than just going out and practicing for 2 hours every night. But I've kind of learned over the years that you need to have 7-8 guys that can pitch in a ball game. And right now, that's what we're trying to find. So I know the 4 or 5 that we have right now that I trust. Now I'm trying to find 2 or 3 more. So we use these games for that.
Now, remind us of the pitching rules. You know, I feel like that's one thing that's kind of maybe lost in the sauce of high school baseball and Legion baseball is the pitching rules. It's X amount of pitches or X amount of innings pitched. Can you kind of walk us through that in a chess match that you have to do with yourself coming late in the season, then, of course, the state tournament? Okay, well, so-and-so has only X amount of innings that they can go.
Right. So it's all based off of the number of pitches now. So once you get to that 95 pitch range, you got to take 4 days off. If you can stay under 30 pitches, you can come and pitch the next day. So it is a little bit of a challenge, especially when you play a lot of games or you get into a tournament. You really got to be careful with that, you know, just making sure you're giving your guy enough time off. But yeah, they switched it from innings to pitches a few years back. And it does make it difficult when you're from a smaller town, don't have a whole lot of kids you can choose from. So it hurts a little bit, but we've gotten used to it.
So if somebody's dealing and they got 94 pitches, and can they go past the 95 mark then? We see that a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, so once you get to the 95 pitch range, that's when your 4 days start. You can throw up to 105. You can start a new batter at that 105th pitch, but you got to end with that batter. So let's say you start the batter at 105. You throw 5 pitches, 110, he's got to come out.
Okay.
Is that how strictly enforced is that? Is there somebody up in the booth that's keeping track of the pitch count? I know you guys do, but let's just say you get lost in the game and you're just so locked into a certain situation where a guy is, like Matt said, he's dealing, or maybe you got a situation where you got bases loaded and you're just so dialed into the next pitch, and then you look down, he's at 111 right now. How enforced is that, and who keeps track other than you guys?
Yeah, I keep track of it myself. We have, Game Changer is a really good app where you kind of stream the games and, it's easy to follow. That keeps track of the pitch count. On our field here at Lockhart's Field, we have a pitch count up on the scoreboard, so we know what the pitches are at all times. I wouldn't say you get lost in it. I do a lot of closing my eyes and praying that he can get this out on pitch 104 so we can get to the next batter. But, we're pretty aware of how many pitches we have.
Can you talk about the uniqueness of that's a word? It is now. Lockhart's Field. You know, I've been there a couple times. Just a unique spot to see a game. I mean, your crowds are unbelievable. That I've seen the couple games that I've been to. Can you just kind of talk about that experience?
Yeah, baseball has a long, long history of tradition and pride here. Our community takes very, very good care in our field. I can say, I'm a little bit of a homer, but I feel like we have one of the nicest places in the state to play. You know, we got little league fields on both sides. Our field, Lockhart's Field, we got the new dugouts, new press box. Grounds crew does an unbelievable job out there. It's a really, really fun place to play, and it's always full. We have some of the best fans. They travel all over, too, so when we go to Chamberlain on Sunday, it wouldn't shock me if we had more fans than they did.
Wow.
But it's just a great place. You know, this weekend we have what's called Day of Play, where starting at 9 in the morning until 10 at night, all 3 fields are going to be used. So it's going to be a really fun weekend.
That sounds like Northern State travel. I mean, sometimes you go to a certain place, whether that's, Sioux Falls at Augustana or up to Moorhead. Sometimes there's more Northern fans there than the home team. So kind of sounds similar to that. A couple more here with Seth Erickson on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's get to the important stuff. Seeds or gum? You know, we're talking baseball. What's the seed flavor? Are you a big ranch guy or just sticking to the original, or what else are you doing?
Yeah, we're big seed guys. We don't chew much gum in the dugout. Sounds a little disgusting, but sometimes we buy a bucket of seeds and just mix them all together and just get them by the handful.
That's bold.
It's a little bold. It's a little wild, but I got to keep it fun a little bit.
If you are chewing gum, is it Big League Chew or is it more like Hubble Bubble? What are you rocking? Is Big League Chew like a big thing still?
My kid thinks it is, but he's 8. But there's a little bit of both in the dugout. But you know, most of these guys, they chew seeds. They're all about the seeds.
Yeah, my uncle was just eat the whole thing, like chew it up a little bit, then eat the shell and all. He's an interesting character. We don't talk to Uncle Tom too much. I'll love to him, but no, that's interesting, and I am floored that you're just throwing them all into one bucket. That is that's a fireball.
You gotta try
offense.
It.
That's a fireball.
You gotta
offense.
Try it. It's an experience. That's
I feel like that's gotta be a unique taste in the mouth. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to McDonald's and you try all the different sodas in one cup.
Okay. Yep.
That's a good comparison.
That's actually a really good comparison. I didn't mean to say fireball offense. Finable offense is what I meant to say. But enjoy the seeds. Enjoy the baseball here this summer, Coach. Appreciate you being a part of the program. And good luck on Sunday in Chamberlain there.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
It's our pleasure, for sure. Seth Erickson, head coach of the Groton baseball squad, Groton Post 39, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. That's a really good comparison. I used to do that all the time as a kid. Powerade, Barks Root Beer. Yeah, 7-Up looks good there, too. Why not some Mellow Yellow? Yeah, like throw it all into one. And I don't know if I could do that with seeds, though. I love seeds. I'm very discriminatory in my taste with seeds.
I feel like it would be pretty good, though. I think it's not a bad thing. Yeah,
ranch.
Some ranch and some barbecue. Yeah, I feel like that could go pretty good together. What do you think?
I think we should maybe try something at some point in time here. A live taste test on the Sports Hub. But yeah, one seed, you've got a dill pickle in there. Next one, you got a ranch, and then you got some mango habanero or something like that.
It's amazing how many different flavors of seeds there are. It feels like every year I'll go to a gas station, get a snack, and I've never seen that seed flavor before.
I'm a big ranch guy. Ranch and dill pickle.
Yeah, ranch. I like barbecue. I like the dill pickle as well. I'm kind of all over the place. The only one, the original kind of doesn't taste like anything.
It's lost its fastball.
Yeah.
And that used to be all that I had when I was a little kid growing up, when I was 9, 10 years old. Nowadays, I'm all about everything else.
Yeah, if I have a choice between the original and a flavor that I've never had before, I think I'm going the flavor I've never had before.
Bingo. Right there with you. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school baseball in the form of the game last night with the Aberdeen Smitties and that Groton Post 39 squad, again presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. We'll check on the state tournaments on the high school golf side of things as well. And also, don't forget, we've got two of the three state tournaments coming to the Hub City this week. That's specifically Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That'll be B and A for high school softball. And then after softball, it's basically finito. That's the end of the high school sports season here on the spring side of things. So it'll be full speed ahead with just racing and clay. I think the clay pigeon clay shooting deal. That's going on here this weekend as well. And of course, you've got Legion baseball and amateur baseball. And then the next thing you know, we're going to blink our eyes and we're going to be lacing them up for 9-man and 11-man football in the fall.
When's the state for softball? Then is that?
Softball is this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
This is this week. Okay, yeah. So that's coming up. So, yeah, that's kind of crazy, man. We're going to be, you know, talking amateur and Legion baseball and, like you said, other sports in the summer. But, I mean, we're going to be thinking about football here in the not-too-distant future, man.
Then after all that, it's just – no, it's not exactly that. Not exactly that at all. All right, upcoming next on the show, we're back after this with local high school notes. Sports Hub continues on FSA. Seth Erickson, head coach of the Groton Post 39 squad, joining us. Appreciate him taking time out of his busy schedule and joining us. And, you know, Matt, I was watching the game there last night between Groton Post 39 and the Aberdeen Smitties. I didn't get a chance to ask him this, but feels like stealing is at an all-time high, you know, with just the aggressiveness on the base paths. Not just the Smitties, but Groton and everybody else that the Smitties play and who they play. It's just one of those deals where if you're on first base, you're going for second almost immediately.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're testing the catcher's arm, and you're going to find out if he's got a good arm or not in the first time he throws the ball down to second base. That's a good point, and we talked a lot about it. You know, getting to third base is also key. If you got a guy that struggles with blocking the ball on off speeds and it goes to the backstop and allowing a wild pitch goes in and the guy from third to score – I mean, that's another factor in the whole thing as well. Base running is aggressive. You see coaches like Coach Ganelli, he doesn't even have signs. He has like plays on like it's kind of he calls out a number and they have like kind of like for football. It's 14, that means this or whatever. But, like, he'll, you know, we talked to J.L. Avilas a couple weeks ago. He was like, hey, he trusts me enough where I use my speed to get to second. So it is a big thing. You see it a lot at the level as well, the first and third game. I talk about that all the time. Because if you have a good catcher and he can throw out a guy at second, I would try to get that guy out at second all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you see it in the majors and the division, you know, college baseball. That play is like a non-factor almost. Like the first and third throwing it to the shortstop, they're trying to get the guy out at second, and then they'll throw it back out and get a double play at home. Like it's a non, that play is a non-factor at the next level. Non-factor.
But it's a big deal on the South Dakota high school side of things in Legion.
Oh, no doubt. It's a huge thing. Yeah. Like that's why I'm saying. I'm just saying the differences. At South Dakota Legion, if you get first and third, I mean, they're trying to get that runner home. They got different plays. Hey, I'm going to throw it right back to the pitcher. I'm going to act like I'm throwing it to second, going right back to the pitcher. Mm-hmm. The shortstop will cut in and try to backpick the guy at third. I mean, there's a lot of mind games that goes on with that. It's interesting.
Can you imagine Ganelli just pulling up that little sheet on his forearm? He goes, sprint right, two jet, I'll go. The hell? No, this is football. Huh? I got to get my baseball one there. But, no, good stuff there from the Smitties last night. They really took care of business. Their offense exploded to the tune of 17 runs last night at Fossum Field, their first win of the Legion season. On the mound, Jordan Foss picked up the victory, going four innings strong, scattering four hits, only one run earned while striking out seven post 39 batters there. Joe Cogley got an opportunity to catch up with Ryan Martin there post game. A very solid day for him at the dish. 2 for 5. He driven five. You mentioned J.L. Avilas. Really steady. Good eye for him. 3 for 3 at the plate. Also walked a pair of times there, too. So he's one of those guys that when I date myself here, when I used to play baseball back in the day, I used to have a head coach that always would say, Tukes, make him pitch to you. That means don't be uberly aggressive all the time. Make him pitch to you. And anytime J.L. Avilas is up at the dish, that's exactly what he's doing. He's not overly aggressive. He's going to let the pitcher pitch. And you don't have to be first pitch swinging all the time. Now, if it's there, you know, go for it. But he's just a really steady Eddie there at the
point. Yeah, you're right. He works the count so well. You mentioned a little shakeup there at the lineup as well. Ridley Waldo, he led off there yesterday. He's usually at the bottom of the lineup, so you see him moving up. He's been hitting the ball really well, and that's the thing that Coach Ganelli does so well. He's always trying to find the right lineup. It seems like he's got a different lineup every time out. If a guy's struggling, yeah, he'll move him down. A guy at the bottom's catching fire, he'll move him up. But to your point on JL, I mean, he just does such a good job of working the count, fouling off pitches. And we talk about using the field, all fields. He does that as well. But big-time outing, and I think the Smitties needed a game like that where, hey, we got the bats rolling here, a 10-run rule, maybe that can spark some momentum moving forward.
And also, oh, by the way, that's their last home game until the end of June. I mean, they're going to be on the road for what seems like an eternity. I don't have the number in front of me, but I want to say June 23rd is their next home game, something like that. So they're going to be on the road. They're going to have to be road warriors for the next 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you go at Senior Legion Post 74 Thursday, then you're at Huron, at the Dakota Classic, at Yankton, at Harrisburg, and you mentioned it. It was the 23rd.
23rd, yeah.
You got two games against Renner at Fossum Field. So, I mean, a lot of road games coming up. Obviously, the Dakota Classic, everybody's got to travel for that. But to your point, a lot of road games, and we'll see how they play there on the road.
Nice win there last night over Post 39, 17-7, your final score. Presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. Catch Ryan Martin on the call all season long for those home games via HubCityRadio.com. And, of course, on our website, HubCityRadio.com, with that story, you can hear Ryan Martin with Coach Ganelli following that contest along with Joe Cogley there, too. Check it all out on HubCityRadio.com, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. Talking some high school golf upcoming next as the Golden Eagles, their lead is now down to single digits. Is that a lot? I'll tell you all about it coming up next. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Cobra and Tukes live here in studio. Ryan Deal, friend of the program, he'll be joining us tomorrow talking some high school track and field and high school sports season in general. That'll be tomorrow right around 10:30 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen as you're going over your old school baseball coaches' signals and what have you. Just keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yeah, it was shirt steal and belt bunt. That was it. And he didn't care if the coaches saw it or not. I mean, he was He was an old school coach, man. That's for sure.
Was he cracking a six pack in the dugout too? It's just like, I don't care, whatever.
He cared. He cared big time. He was one of the best baseball coaches I had. He was strict. Batting practice, he'd throw a ton of pitches, and he would throw you some chin music.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what. He'd try to if you wouldn't swing at pitches. He'd get a little frustrated, and he'd, like, jam you. I'm like, man, you got to throw it over the middle. Like, my hands are stinging right now.
Yeah.
His batting, and he threw it. Like, he was, like, always so close. Like, it was never the regulation distance. He'd, like, move up 10 feet and throw it hard to kind of get the bat. Hey, you're going to see this in a game. Man, he was a good coach.
McGlure. Figure it out. That was a different coach. That was on the football side of things. All right, high school golf action, Class A right now. Aberdeen, Ron Colley, collectively as a squad, a little bit of catching up they need to do. They are 14 strokes now back of Sioux Falls Christian. They started the day 4 strokes back, so certainly some work to be had as Christian sits now in first place, 69 over collectively as a squad. They are 7 strokes ahead of second place Vermilion, St. Tommy, 10 strokes ahead of them, and then 14 strokes of Aberdeen Ron Colley. On the individual side of things, you've got Claire Crawford up top right now, a 4 over par for the day as it stands through 4 holes, and that's going to continue to jockey for position. She is, I believe, now 2 strokes ahead of Tori Peterson, as Peterson has shaved 2 strokes off of her game from yesterday to this point, as Peterson was a 9 over yesterday. So Claire Crawford, a 2-stroke lead as it stands right now. That'll continue to go up and continue to go down, and we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. But that would be really, really cool to see Claire Crawford take care of business there. That is down south in Madison. On the AA side of things, Olivia Braun sitting 2 under par. She finished the day yesterday 1 under. She is sitting now 2 strokes under par, collectively 7 strokes ahead of the rest of the field. Maddie Childs, a 5 over par collectively today. She's an even par for day 2. You've got Kylie Weyerbaugh making some moves. She finished the day, I believe, 6 over yesterday, or 8 over in 6th place, I should say. So now she's sitting at 3rd place, tied for 3rd, but Braun collectively 7 strokes ahead of the rest of the field. She is absolutely in the driver's seat right now through the first day and change.
Yeah, you got to just be steady if you're Braun, and I think you're going to see outside of Braun maybe a little bit of a mix-up, you know, Emma Dorr, it looks like right now, she was in 2nd. She's already 3 over. I think you're just going to see somebody maybe catch fire, jump, but we'll see how it all shakes out. It's bronze to win, that's for sure, right now.
3rd place as a freshman, 2nd place as a sophomore, and looking to be that medalist here today. Would be pretty cool to see that get taken care of here. On the Class B side of things, let's travel out to Prairie Winds Golf Course there in Watertown after day 1. St. Mary's, I should say, is 1 stroke ahead of Miller, and they are 16 strokes ahead of 3rd place Chester. That's going to be a furious fight to the finish. Bryn Rorick of Clark Willow Lake at 1, or make it even par after yesterday. J.C. Pugh, 1 stroke behind her. That's going to be very, very competitive going down the stretch there, too. So I'm looking forward to on the girls' side of things. I think Rorick won it last year, if memory serves correctly. J.C. Pugh is right there for Miller. So that's going to be very, very competitive down the stretch. And that's the operative word there, competitive. On the boys' side of things, oh my goodness. Have you seen the team scores after day 1?
Yeah, look at this. I mean, Hanson, what, 9 over? Clark Willow Lake and Flandreau with 2 shots between them as well. I mean, what in the world's going on there?
And then between 3rd and 9th, the differential is 11 strokes. That is it. So there's going to be a lot of movement in theory there on the boys' side of things. And individually speaking, Alfie Henderson of Flandreau, a 1 under par, good for first place after day 1. Wyatt Larson of McIntosh, an even par 72, he's tied for 2nd. Then you've got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5-way tie for 4th place. Lars Tweed of Woolsey Wessington is 2 over par. He's in 9th place, and he's 3 strokes back. So there is going to be a very, very furious fight to the finish. Would not be shocked, and I'm kind of hoping for it, a playoff there for Class B boys.
Yeah, I think you could definitely see a playoff, not just from 2 guys.
I think
you could see multiple guys being tied for first at the end of the day when you look at it. I mean, 71 to 74 is 9. That's the difference between 1st and 9th. Insane. That's going to be a fun one down the finish.
I'm like Mr. Burns over here. Excellent. I'm waiting to see how that all plays out. High school baseball from yesterday. Clark, Willow Lake, the Senators, they would sweep the Redfield Post 92 squad. Two very competitive games. 8-7 in game one with the Senators over Clay Kaiser. And then in game two, you had the Senators over Redfield Post 92. 7-4, your final tally there yesterday. And Lord have mercy on the broadcasters out there. I would do it. As a matter of fact, I've already done it. I don't think so much on this episode of the Sports Hub, but the Athletics. People are still calling them the Oakland Athletics. They were going down in defeat there last night. Twins down the Athletics 10-4. Corey Provis is trending on social media because he called them the Oakland Athletics. I mean, I would too. They're the team without a city, I guess.
Yeah, they're just called the Athletics. I've made a couple mistakes on the show, my morning show, talking about that series as well. You got to, and they don't want to be called the Sacramento A's. You're playing in Sacramento. Why? What's the deal? By the way, Byron Buxton, big game for him later last night.
Career high, 5 RBI as the Twins. They extended the Athletics losing streak to 7 games. They won there last night, 10-4. Good buddy. All right, we are back at it tomorrow on the Sports Hub. Colin Cowherd is coming up at the top of the hour on FSA.